From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so
everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy. All right, so there seems to be some Chicago breaking news. I mean, it's on WGN, so I'm breaking it. John Catanzaro resigning from the Chicago Police Department because they were squeezing him. They were leveraging him. That little receding hairline, confusedly dressed mayor of ours, Lori Lightfoot. Although I wore a vest. I went to a party yesterday. She changed my diaper. She was my babysitter, turned 70, Mary Jo. So we went to a wonderful birthday party for her. And as I wore a vest, I thought to myself, don't feel unusual. You're a man. You're the one that's supposed to wear the vest with the lapels. Me, not Lori Lightfoot. So Lori Lightfoot, who's confused in the man's vest, likes to wear a fedora, stingy brim, by the way, which I find funny because she's got a very large forehead. She wears a stingy brim hat and a vest. She was using her position to politically squeeze out John Catanzaro, the FOP president. And he just resigned, so now he can't be leveraged. But he still can be the FOP president, because he's elected to that. I hope that son of a gun runs for mayor. Don't you? Oh, he did. All right, yes. Okay, good. All right, now is he going to run as a Democrat, though? I think when you're a union president, you have to. We got Matt Rosenberg on the phone. All right, let's talk to Matt. Hi, Matt. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Sean, doing well. How about you?
I want to thank you for grabbing the line. I want to talk a little bit about John Catanzaro.
Sure.
So what do you think? I mean, he's going to run. He should run. I think the people of Chicago are with him. I want to know what you think.
Tell me what he's running for.
Mayor.
He announced that?
Uh-huh. Because he just resigned from the Chicago Police Department. As he was being squeezed out by Lori Lightfoot's intimidation.
I was following the story about the disciplinary hearings. Wow.
So he announced today, that's it. I'm resigning from the police department. I mean, I think he's 24 or 26 years. I'm not quite sure. And he's the FOP, you know, he's the head of the FOP. And he's elected to that, so he doesn't have to lose that. So he retires officially from CPD. And now he steps in. And he runs as the only one qualified to wear a vest. What do you think about that for a slogan?
I still want Ray Lopez to run.
I like Ray Lopez very much. I really do. But Catanzaro could bring something that's much needed. And Ray Lopez, and I take nothing away from him. He's a friend of the show. I don't know if you know, man. I've had him on numerous times. And I like Ray very much as a, you know, and I normally am not friendly to Democrats from Chicago. And I thank Bunny for that, for getting me to Ray Lopez. But John Catanzaro is a former policeman. This city needs some safety, brother. It's an absolute and total chaos. I have to tell you, when I get ready for the show, I have a Newsbreak app. It's nauseating. I can't keep up with the clips. One-year-old shot, woman shot, people robbed, carjackings, chaos and mayhem. They don't want you to realize what we're already disgusted about is a fifth of what's really happening in the sewer. I think a cop could do exactly what we need.
Well, we need to make the city safe for policing again and safe for the people who live here. And everyone knows that, you know, we're just in kind of an existential despair here over the crime that's sweeping over the city. So I think we need someone who stands behind police to the same degree that John Catanzaro would. I don't know if he's really the right guy for the time. He's going to be a lightning rod for the left. Who cares, maybe, except, you know, moderates, hard to say. And the other thing is, of course, we only get 33% voter turnout historically in our local elections. So if he's going to have a chance, he's going to have to really connect with people in the African-American and Latino communities, and that will be an interesting challenge. You know, you got to mobilize the folks that don't usually vote. It's typically the lakefront progressives and, you know, the Bucktown, Wicker Park.
The ones who moved out.
Park,
yeah.
Progressives, the property owners. You know, I think if you broke it down by race, you'd see a much greater turnout among whites than among minority groups.
Which is shocking. So which is shocking and
he's
upsetting.
He's going to have a tough challenge. And also, I mean, is Arne Duncan in or out? You know, we don't know yet. That'll make it extra interesting.
So you
if
wrote the book.
Of them are in it. And is Paul Vallis in it again? He's certainly acting like it, right?
Yeah.
So this could be a really interesting race.
So you wrote the book, What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you were you have a different perspective because you actually had been gone for a certain amount of time, right? You didn't live consecutively in Chicago, did you?
Well, I lived here for 30 years, pretty much consecutively, from 1964 to 94. But yeah, then
so I want to see if you experience
experience
the same thing I did, right? When you're in it and you don't move out, to a certain extent, it becomes normal to you. It's when you move out and when you see that you do not have to live in such a corrupt manner that you just simply got used to. You don't have to live with the kind of failure, the kind of open and notorious shakedown, for lack of a better term, that so many Chicagoans, business owners, and the rest of the people not in on the scam just adapt to. So I think it's a different perspective that stokes the frustration and anger of the Chicago way once you're removed from it and you see how you can actually thrive versus survive. Do you think that enough people have that perspective?
There's a benefit to being the man from Mars, if you will. I probably hesitate to call myself that because, you know, my connection has almost been a straight line here, even after moving to Seattle in 1994. And talk about a place where things have gone wrong. You know, the thing is, though, even there, it's double-edged because there's safety in the outer precincts of the city. You know, currently I'm staying in Evanston, house-sitting for somebody. Not much happens up here, and it's very pretty. And I noticed something, too, Sean, when I talked to my white progressive friends from Chicago about the heinous violence, like last week in Hyde Park, which we should talk about in a minute, they're in denial. Progressives in Chicago are in denial. What you hear is, oh, well, it's always been violent. And when you really cut through it all, black lives don't matter to white progressives. And I may have said that before on your show, but I'm being reminded of it practically every day. And then you hear, well, until we have, you know, single-payer health care, free college tuition, and more free money for everybody all around, what do you expect? Of course, blacks are going to be killing each other, and I'm left scratching my head. So there's just this insane denial going on, and at the same time, police are rightly fearful of doing their jobs the way that they should because somebody's going to pull out a smartphone and shoot a video, and it's going to be on YouTube with a million of views, and they're going to be tarred as racist, and then people will come to outside of their home. Like, you know, the policeman who felt forced to have to shoot Adam Toledo in that horrible incident in Little Village. So things have just gone mad. So from that perspective, a guy like Catanzaro, who represents the interests of police and will support them being allowed to do their jobs, maybe he's the man for the time. But, I mean, it's trickier, you know, and he can't just shoot off his mouth on the campaign trail either.
Well, here's the problem, I think, to a certain extent. I want your input on it. I am lucky enough to remember a time when the goal was not to social engineer strangers based on perceived prejudices. When you were to judge people based on their actions and their actual character. The more I take up this forced balkanization of society by swindlers. Mm-hmm. The more they want me to think of my fellow man as nothing more than a race versus the individual that they deserve the dignity to be thought of, mm-hmm. the more we're playing into the hands of the fraud social engineers. And in my opinion, just my opinion, that if we wanted to change things in society, we would tell those people who may have been swindled by these political whores that you are not, you are more than just a black man. You are more than just a Mexican. You are an individual. You are deserved of individual unalienable rights, and we get back to the American principles that actually turn the youngest country into the most powerful rather than following this manipulation of Marxism by swindlers and political whores. What do you think?
I agree. There's a woman up here in Evanston who reached out to a progressive magazine called The Atlantic a few months ago to tell her story. She's of African-American and Congolese descent. She grew up in Evanston. She moved back here with her kids and husband. Her 14-year-old son wanted to be a lawyer. He shared that with his teachers in the Evanston public schools. And they told him, you can't do that because of systemic racism. And he and his sister came home and reported to their mother a series of such, you know, racialist exhortations they were getting in their classes. Their mother went to talk to the teachers and was told, yeah, this is how it is. This is how it's going to be. And she was outraged. And this is the shakeout now from the Virginia elections, right?
So I don't think we should run from
breaking
that.
Point.
I don't think we should run from that. I think we should stoke that.
Some people call it critical race theory. I call it the unified theory of systemic racism. You're absolutely right, Sean. It comes back to Martin Luther King's words. Judge us by the content of our characters, not our pigmentation.
I was lucky enough to...
This is, you know, something that merges with the crime in Chicago, because nobody can stay. I'm saying it. Black people on the South Side are saying it, but no one in public life can say, listen, these young men, primarily black, who are committing these crimes, like this young man who was out on probation, yet once again, thank you, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, this young man named Alton Spann, mm-hmm. who killed the 24-year-old graduate student in Hyde Park, the
yes.
University of Chicago student, young Chinese man.
Yep.
You know, we can't call out his parents because that would be racist. Nobody who's brown or black can be responsible for anything because of the wrongs committed against their ancestors in past decades and centuries. And, you know, this, too, is how a city dies. So yeah. I think we need, and this is a tricky part for a Catanzara, a Ray Lopez, Arne Duncan, anyone who runs for mayor of Chicago. I think the biggest issue that has to be elevated, considering the violence that's tearing the city apart, considering that the perpetrators are, you know, about 70 to 80% African-American, and about 15% Latino, the biggest issue is raising your children right.
Yeah.
And this is so old-fashioned and so retrograde in the eyes of progressives. And
you,
then you
bigot, Matt.
Race
you bigot.
That?
You racist, Matt. What are you, crazy? You want people to raise their kids right? We're all part of the state. We're only the state could orchestrate social justice, Matt. Haven't you been paid attention?
Exactly right. Listen, I've been having conversations all week long on that great social media platform called Facebook. I posted something. I was extremely pissed off about what happened in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
And the fact that there have been 5 murders down there. Yeah, it's a lot worse in Woodlawn. It's a lot worse in North Lawndale, Washington Heights, Roseland, West Pullman. You know, Garfield Park, West Garfield Park, these are the real killing fields. But I was really, really taken aback by that. You know, what's going to be left? You know, what neighborhoods are going to be left in the city that are even safe? People are scared to go out in Bucktown. They're scared to go out in Wicker Park.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Edgewater, Rogers Park, what's next?
Matt, you just stay safe.
I think if the whoever, you know, is running for mayor is not able to strongly call out the role of family, the role of parents, the responsibility of parents, then we're beating around the bush. And I'm not sure I see, you know, maybe Catanzara does that. He's got to be careful of overkill. Well, if Ray Lopez was in the race, he would call it out just right. He's done it before in public. Duncan, I don't know.
He's I'm not a Duncan. A Forget about Duncan.
Convention.
Yeah, Duncan's too much in with the shirts and skins with Obama. But his name is Matt Rosenberg. He's the author of What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Son. He's a contributor to my show, Friend, and I want to thank you very much for coming on with such short notice. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, it was a pleasure, Sean.
We'll
Take
be back
care
with
yourself.
Your calls and comments after this.